Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for this Saturday, April 11, and Sunday, April 12. It is a great joy to be back on the radio with you again today. Well, again, we want to welcome our newest station, KLNG, in Omaha, Nebraska. We certainly appreciate being on this station. We've been on there since March, and we certainly thank God for that. This is part of our Reaching America project and helping us to go on new stations in different parts of the country. And we'll be closing that project out at the end of April here, as far as trying to raise money for it. But let me just say this, as far as on the radio trying to raise money for it. But let me say this, if you want to help us with that, we still got time, and we're trying to raise $3,100 now by the end of the month, and that way we can go on one more station at least, and we can go into Tucson, Arizona. So you pray for us about that as well, and I hope you'll do that. So if you want to do this, we ask 1,000 people across America to give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 to help us, and this is the work of the Lord. We're a 501c3 ministry. You get a tax receipt right back in the mail. It is nothing that we do. We don't pocket the money. I don't get any money out of that. I am just trying to do the Lord's work and see people get saved and see the Christian be stirred. Now, if you're doing it, just make a check to GBI, and then our mailing address, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. We're on this station every week at the same time, and some of you getting it on Saturday, some of you get it on Sunday, and I certainly appreciate the privilege of being on these great stations that we're on. We get a lot of listeners out of the local area in which I live, the WILFM area in Elkin, North Carolina. We get a ton of listeners out of there. And then WKBC in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. We've got a lot of people listening right there, and I appreciate that. And then other stations, different parts of the country, I appreciate that. WTBI there in Greenville, we get a lot of listeners. WPIP there, Brother Beatty, WYCV, Granite Falls, and other stations that we're on. We certainly thank God for the privilege of being on these great stations. And, you know, the Lord's been good to me. I've been in radio for many, many years now, and I thank God for what God is doing. And, you know, we got into AM radio, and then Brother Gary Hall, we got a lot of response out of WSOF stations there in Madisonville, Kentucky. Brother Gary Hall was there for years. He's in glory now, but he's a great instrument in getting us on FM. And then we've been on FM now for several years, FM, AM. And the Lord's opened several outlets that we're able to broadcast on, and I appreciate that goodness of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. Now, as we go to the message, I pray you'll bless it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we're going to start a brand new message today, but we're still studying Psalm 59, and it's pretty bad. You can't even read your own writing, ain't it? Amen. I wrote some things down here. I can't even read my own writing. But Psalm 59, we're going to continue to study that psalm today. I hope it'll be a blessing as we go to it right now. Now we come to our 39th in this series of messages on the life of David, and we'll continue in our study in Psalm 59, and we'll continue here in verse number 10, Lord willing. Father, will you take the study and use it now for your glory? In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, amen. Now we continue here, and Psalm 59 was written in the days when David was getting ready to run from Saul. Saul's men had surrounded David's house, and you remember the story. Michal lets him down through a window, and he escapes. And David is talking about that time here in Psalm 59. Psalm 59, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies." Let's just look at that verse for a minute, all right? Now, in the first part of the verse, he says this. He said, "The God of my mercy shall prevent me." Now, the word "prevent" in the King James Bible means to go before. In other words, God's mercy is going to go before David. God's going to take care of David. And let me say today, no matter what you're going through or no matter what trouble you have in life, if you're a child of God and you're walking where you ought to be with God, God will take care of you. God made a great promise to the church in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, and the last verses there, 19 and 20. And in the last verse of chapter number 28, verse number 20, he said, "Lo, I am with thee alway, even unto the end of the world." In other words, God is going to see the church right on through to the rapture of the church. And God's made that promise to you, and God's going to be there for you if you're saved by the grace of God. Now, things may not turn out always like you want them to. And things may not turn out the way I want them to all the time. But God has made a promise that He'll always be there. All right, said His mercy would prevent it. Then He said this. He said, God shall let me see the desire upon mine enemies. Now, David is not wanting God to kill his enemies, but David is wanting justice from his enemies. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, that you see that the right prevail. Now, these men were after David without a cause. David had hazarded his life to kill the Philistine. Israel had been 40 days over there in bondage and tied down, and the Philistine champion had came out. You remember that story, and we studied it. And so David, God used him to deliver Israel. Now, this was David's reward. David's reward, he got rewarded evil for good. David got rewarded by the evil man Saul to kill him. And Saul sought to kill David. Saul sought to smite him to the wall. David had to run for his life. And now David is saying, "Let me see my desire upon mine enemies." David knew at a young age God had ordained him to be king of Israel. Now, David did not know how he would get to the throne. David did not cut corners to get to the throne. David waited upon the Lord. I might interject this right here. It may not fit well, and some of you may not like this, but you preachers could take a lesson from David. Some of you cut corners to get a church. Some of you cut corners to get places to preach. And let me just say that when you cut a corner to get a place, it'll never be right. I want you to understand that. I remember several years ago, I wanted to preach as bad as any other preacher. And my cousin had told me, he said a friend of ours had called him and two or three more preachers to come and preach at his church. And he said, "By the way, he tried to call you and he couldn't get no answer." Well, you know what? I took that upon myself and I said, "I want to preach." So I called that guy. Now, this is back before caller ID and all that. I called the guy and I said, "Did you try to call me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I said, "Was you want me to come preach for you?" And he said, "Well, I was going to get you." And I don't know if he wanted me to come then or not, but you know what I did? I went anyway. Now, let me say to you, that wasn't really a good thing I did right there. And that's the only place I preached. I didn't feel good about it because I cut a corner to get there. Maybe not the only one. I probably had that happen before. But as a rule, I just try not to play that game. I try not to ask for places. I try not to promote myself. I don't want to be anywhere God don't want me to be. And that's what David did about getting to be king. David did not try to get where God did not want him at that time. God's timing is everything. I'm praying about a request of prayer right now. And a friend of mine, he sent me a text yesterday. And it's a very timely text, good text. And it's yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, he sent me a text. And he said, "God's timing is everything." And he's right about that. He's right about that. And brother, God's timing, it ain't up to me and you. And so David knew he'd be king, but David was having to wait. And so David wanted to come a day. He'd to see this desire on his enemies. Well, first of all, let's just look at this. He said, let's look at the next verse, verse 11. And then there's a lot in this verse, verse 11. Psalm 59 and verse 11 is where we're studying. He said this. He said, "Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield." Now, let's just take this verse and break it apart just a little bit and study it. All right, first of all, he said, "Slay them not, lest my people forget." In other words, the men that's going to be with me, Israel's going to be my nation one day. I'm going to be their king. And he said, "I don't want you to kill these enemies. I don't want you to kill them. I just want you to take care of them." Now, brother, it would be wrong for us to pray death on our enemies. You remember James and John, don't you? In the New Testament, they prayed. They asked the Lord, said, "Lord," said, "wilt thou that we call fire out of heaven?" Now, you admit this, they had enough faith to believe that God would do what they wanted done. I don't think God would have answered that request had they done it. And the Lord said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you're of." Now, listen, I've had people, and I've told you this, I'm not going to major on this. I've had people do me wrong, and you have too. But my job is not to call fire down to heaven on our enemies. Our job's not to say, well, Lord, that man done me wrong. Why don't you just kill him? No, no. Pray the contrary. Lord, bless them. Lord, don't kill them. Lord, don't hurt them. Lord, don't do anything to them. Just, and that heaps coals of fire on their head, brother, when they try to do something wrong. I've learned a lot about that. Amen. And so David had these enemies. David said, slay them not. David was in the right spirit. Amen. I mean, you know, we don't want God to kill nobody. Don't God to hurt nobody. Amen. Now, there may come a time when you have to ask God for, and there's certain situations for certain things, and sometimes God gets tired of things, and God will judge. But then the next thing, notice this, this was the spiritual man of David talking right here. Amen. Slay them not. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of us wouldn't do that, would we? Well, then the next part of it, verse 11 says, scatter them by thy power. In other words, reduce them. Reduce their effectiveness. Now, that's a good prayer to pray against your enemies. Just by God's power, just reduce their effectiveness. You have to pray God to kill them. Just reduce them from being effective, Lord. Amen. And there's other ways of praying for people. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you got somebody oppressing you, just you don't have to pray, Lord, kill them. Just say, Lord, reduce them. Bring them down. Everything they do, just hedge it up. Don't let it go right. And that way they can't do me any harm, you see. And by the way, people can do you harm. Somebody said, well, man can't hurt me. Yeah, they can. If God allows man to do it, man can hurt you. Man can say things about you. The Bible said a whisper separated chief friends. Why, you take a man that is underhanded. I'd rather a man come out and do something boldly against me than I would a man work behind my back. Those that work behind your back are those you got to watch. And boy, I mean, you really got to keep an eye on those people, because they're the ones that'll do you the most harm. A man in the church that will boldly oppose you, he ain't much of a threat to you. But that crowd that'll work behind the scenes, and they'll pick the phone up, and they'll say, well, I love our preacher, but. When I tell you what, I agree with our preacher, but. Oh, we got a good preacher, but. And when they start doing that to other members, they'll get a crowd after themselves, and you got to watch that. And boy, you preachers got to be on guard for that. And if you'll pray, God will show you all that stuff. God will show you almost what they're speaking in their bedchamber if you'll just pray about it. And God will let you in on some things. Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so what you do when you pray and you got an enemy, you just pray, Lord, reduce his effectiveness. Don't let him hurt me. And that's what David prayed here in Psalm 59. Just reduce his effectiveness. Don't let him hurt me. Just bring him down. And then notice this. He said, and bring them down. And bring them down. Amen. Just ask God to bring your enemies down to nothing. Amen. Just ask God to bring your enemies down. I mean, you know, enemies, some people have a lot of power. Now, they really do. Some people have a lot of power. Some people have built up power among other people. And some people have a lot of influence. And people, they hide what they do. Therefore, people don't really know them. Some people you think you know. But really, behind the scenes, you don't know them. They got great power, great influence over other people. And they can, quote-unquote, hurt you pretty bad. But what you do is you just pray to God that they won't be effective. Amen. You pray to God that the light will be shown. Amen. And so that's how you deal with enemies. Like, that's how David dealt with. Now, look at verse number 11. He said, O Lord, our shield. Well, I'm glad the Lord is my shield. Amen. The Lord was David's protection. You see, man can hurt me. But God can stop man, all right? Man can do some things to me. Man can say things about me. Man could write articles about me. Man could write different things. And man could do different things. But God is my ultimate protection, and I've got to lean in God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God's for what you're doing, it won't crash. I promise you that. You know, I've been at gospel broadcasting for 25 years. And we have been fit. We've been talked about. We've been everything you name. We've had to claw and scratch and fight for everything we got, basically. I mean, we had to pray for it. Nothing's come easy. And when I say fight, I don't literally mean fight, but you know what I'm saying. And yet, my friend, we've had enemies. We've had people come against us. And we've even had people make the statement that our ministry was going under. And by the grace of God, it has not went under. And I'll tell you, the only reason it has not went under, it ain't Ricky Cothran. The only reason it has not went under is God's got his hand on GBI. Now, here's the thing about that. God had his hand on David for the kingdom. God had his hand on David to be king. Back in 1 Samuel 16, God anointed David to be king of Israel. Now that anointing was not yet. In other words, it was before its time. It was God anointed him, but God didn't move him into being king right then. Now I've told you a story. I shared a story with you a few times on the radio, and I guess I can tell it here. But I never forget it. February the 5th of 1989. I'll never forget that day. It was on a Sunday. And I was riding to church that day. I was going to another church, and I was riding to church, and God told me where I was supposed to be the pastor. God just, through the Holy Ghost, he said, you're going to be the next pastor of this certain church. Well, the only problem was they already had a pastor. And I thought, Lord, the Lord said, you just wait. And long story short, through the providence of God, in about six months, almost 7 months from then, I was at that church and ended up being the pastor for a short time. And I left out of the will of God at that place when I was a young man in 1990, and should not have left. And that's there. But what I'm saying to you is this: God sometimes will let you in on things before they happen. And he did David here. God let him in. David, you're going to be, you know, it didn't look like David was going to be king. I mean, here's David now. Men surrounded his house. Here's David now. He's got Saul's daughter for a wife, whether that's good or bad. And he's got her. And boy, he's in a mess now. He's running for his life. He's running for his life. Saul is going to kill him. And boy, it don't look like now he's going to be king. And for us, sometimes it ain't look like we're going to make it, but we do. God always helps us. Amen. God always fights. He's your shield. He's your protection. Amen. He said, O Lord, our shield. Amen. Not just my shield, but our shield. God, you're going to protect us. You know, God's going to take care of his church. God's our shield today. We look around this old world and we say, boy, I tell you what, life's getting bad. Things are getting bad. And it is. I mean, things are changing so drastically from just when I was a kid. I never dreamed the church world would be where it is. And it just happened overnight, in my opinion. I mean, I never dreamed fundamentalism would change the way it has. Everybody calls themselves a fundamentalist now. But I could give you the marks of a fundamentalist, amen. People that are independent Baptists that came out of the association years ago, and I'm not mad at anybody, no matter what. If you're saved, I mean, I praise God for you. But what I'm saying to you is this: that there were marks of men that stood as fundamentalists, amen. But anyway, things have changed, but God's not changed. God's still our shield. God's still our protection. And in a world of compromise, in a world of changing, in a world of churches that have changed and went by the wayside, God is still our shield. Amen. God's still my shield today. Thank God he's still your shield. Now, if you think about that today. All right, now we move on. We move down here to verse number 12. Psalm 59, and let's look at verse number 12. The Bible said, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, the Bible said, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Now, he said this. He said, Lord, I want you to deal with their mouths. Now, these men were evident. They were wicked men. They were in Saul's presence. They were serving in Saul's presence, but they were wicked men. And they were cussing and lying. You know, it sounds just like today. The average Christian probably don't think any harm in saying cuss words. And you hear them on the TV, you hear them on the radio, you hear them now. I mean, our language is really changing in America. It's really changing. And people don't think there's anything. But I'm going to tell you something, cussing is still wrong. Saying four-letter words is still wrong. Amen. You need to be careful about that kind of stuff. And by the way, the Bible said we'll give an account for every idle word. Amen. But David is asking God to hold these men accountable for their words, amen, and they're lying. By the way, I just want to stop and say this. God is not interested in people that lie. And by the way, there's no such thing as a white lie. Now, you know what that is? That's glorified sin. Somebody said, well, a little white lie won't hurt anything just to keep the peace. You're wrong about that. A little white lie will do damage. By the way, you should never, and I'm going to leave this where it is when I make this statement, and I think you can read between the lines what I'm getting ready to say here. You should never lie to your children about anything. Did you get what I just said? I said about anything. If you lie to them about things growing up, then they may think you lied to them about God too. Amen. Oh, they'll know the difference, preacher. You better be careful with that, my friend. You better be careful with that. Always be truthful, amen? In your marriage, be truthful. Well, a little white lie won't matter to keep the peace. No, sir. Always be truthful. And by the way, that other person, you ought to accept the truth, amen? When they tell you the truth from their heart, you shouldn't fly mad and fuss at them, amen? You should accept the truth and be honest. I'm glad I got a wife that tells me the truth. I'm glad I got a wife that is truthful with me. I appreciate that, amen? If it's something I want or do and she makes a mistake, she says, now I'm going to tell you what happened. And if it's something I do, I tell her what happened. Amen? Matter of fact, just yesterday, she had some seeds growing in these little pods, and she had them setting up on the sink. And I went in and I was going to wash my hands in that sink, and I'd been handling some, I forgot what it was now. Let's see, I don't know. I was doing something with my plants. Anyway, and that's dirty. Maybe I'd put some sun lotion on me to keep from burning, I guess it was, and I would wash that off. And so what I did, I went in there, and when I did that, her thing tipped over with her seeds, and those pods went flying everywhere, under the sink and everywhere. I had to dig them out and get them and put them back. And so I called her up, and I said, you having a good day? I said, yeah. I said, do you love me? She said, what have you done? So we got to laugh. Both of us got laughing about it, amen. But there wasn't no argument about that. But what I'm saying, you'd always be true. So I said, by the way, listen to me. If you can't be truthful in the little things, you'll never be truthful in the big things. You know that? Did you know? You know Abraham went down to Egypt and lied and almost lost his wife, and he did it again and almost lost her again. I mean, twice he lied about it. And by the way, guess what happened? When Isaac got to be an older man, Isaac lied about Rebekah and got in the same shape. Now, brother, your children will pick up what you do. A man came to me one day and said, my kid's smoking cigarettes. I said, well, you smoke? He said, well, he ought not do what I do. I said, he's going to do exactly what you do. Listen, brother, I want to tell you something, amen, what I'm saying to you. But David was calling them out for their lying. Now, these were men of Saul. These were men that were supposed to rule Israel. These were men that no doubt that when Saul took the kingdom, they were praising God. Remember, I read that verse on the last message. They were praising the Lord. They were happy about the fact, and now they're cursing and lying. By the way, God's not in lying. God's not in preachers lying. Did you know that? Sometimes preachers will lie to their congregation. Well, I'm not going to tell them the truth. You better always be truthful to your congregation. Amen. Then he talked about their cussing. I want to deal with this. I feel like I'm going to say this. There's so much wrong. It's not just TV anymore, but these movies. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a saved, born-again Christian, you got no business watching a movie with cussing in it. Well, a little bit of cussing won't bother the preacher. You'll vex your soul with that cussing. You don't need to watch that. Baptists, or let me say not Baptists, but Christians. There's more listening than Baptists. But Christian people have got no business watching R-rated movies. And I'm just going to say that I have no problem. By the way, I've not been to a theater in years and years and years and years and years. I couldn't ever tell you. Matter of fact, I might have went to a theater when I was little. Amen. I just honestly, I don't think God's people have got any business with at the movies. Now, I know a lot of y'all go to the movies, but I'm going to tell you something about that. They're going to change that rating up there. You may go in to see a good rated movie, and they got their advertising already by the time you come out of there. And movie theaters are dark, and movie theaters are, it's just not the place for a Bible-believing Christian to be. And by the way, let me just bring it back home. Some of this stuff that you subscribe for on the TV, and you get these movies and sit there and watch all this cussing, there ain't no one in the world you're not living close to God. You say, well, now, preacher, I can't be perfect. No, sir, you can't be. But I'm going to give you a verse in the Bible, and you can do what you want to with it. James chapter number 3. I'm going to give you this. And you write it down, read it, go home and read it. James chapter 3, verse number 10. The Bible said, out of the same mouth proceedeth. Now this is saved people he's talking to, born again. Hold on a minute. Now listen to me. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now every once in a while you run into a preacher and say, well, if you're saved, you won't say a cuss word. Now hold on just a minute there. Hold on a minute. You remember Peter? When Peter got backslid on the Lord, the Bible said he began to curse and swear. So don't give me this stuff. Well, a saved man can't curse. Oh, yes, he can. The Bible said that Lot vexed his righteous soul living in Sodom. Brother, when you sit down and watch these R-rated movies and all this kind of ungodly scenes and cussing, you're vexing your soul. Did you know that? And you're hurting your Christian growth in the Lord. So we got to be careful with that. Got to be careful what comes out of my mouth. But David, these men were men of Saul. These men encamped around David's house, and David realized they were cussing, they were lying. No doubt they had told lies on David. And David just asked the Lord to deal with them. Amen. It's about all you can do. Just ask the Lord to deal with them. Amen. I mean, you know, they're doing things they ought not be doing. By the way, we ought to do that that's right, hadn't we? Amen. We ought to try to do that. Now, let's look at Psalm 59, verse number 13. The Bible said, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. Now, when God is saying consume them here, again, when David's saying consume, he's not saying kill them. He's saying eliminate them. In other words, make them non-effective. Consume them in your wrath. By the way, there's a time God will get angry at people. And by the way, there's a time to put a stop to people fighting God's people. There's a time, sometimes you pastors have to stand in your church. You have people come in your church, and I don't know why it is, especially a smaller church is prone to this, but even in the bigger churches. Let me just say that everybody that joins your church, and people today have no discretion at all. I'm just amazed at sometimes at this, I call it lovey-dovey Christianity. I mean, we just take everybody in, we love them. Oh, but preacher, we can't judge. Now, hold on just a minute. Hold on a minute. First of all, the Bible said, know them that labor among you. I believe anybody that joins your church ought to be put under some kind of watch care of the church if you don't know who they are. And especially if they come out of a church that does not believe the doctrines that you hold to, you better be careful with them. They'll come into your church, and if you ain't careful, they'll take it over and spread their doctrine. You don't know whether they've come out of that doctrine or not. But in other words, people need to prove themselves. Now, boy, we don't like that in this day and hour. I think the Bible even gives room for deacons to prove themselves. Oh, we're going to throw a man in for a deacon, and he ain't been saved 6 months. We're going to put him in for deacon. We're violating the Bible. You're violating the Bible. You put a preacher in, ain't been preaching 6 months. You violated the Bible. The Bible said don't put a novice in. Amen. And brother, that's why our church is in such a mess today. But our enemies, amen. He said, eliminate. David said, consume them, Lord, in your wrath. There's a time when you have to get mad. And the Bible said be angry and sin not. And there's a time when God gets angry. I believe when the people's being an enemy to the church, I believe there's times God gets angry about it. There's times a preacher needs to take a stand. There's time the deacons need to take a stand. There's time when you got immorality going on in the church or you got false doctrine going on in the church, you got to take a stand against it. Now, I had a situation when I was pastoring churches. I don't know why people want to come to your church and they want to pastor your church through themselves. They don't want to be the pastor, but they want to sit there and fiddle with a membership. I'm not going to have that where I pastor. I'm never going to have that. I had a man come in one time. He started passing his literature out. Well, it was pharisaical. It was against everything and everybody. And I wasn't going to have that. And I called a man in. I had another man with me. And I called him in. I said, brother, we can't have this. And buddy, that man didn't stay. He left. He just didn't stay around. I'm not going to have that kind of stuff. I'm not going to work and pray on Saturday night and get ready on Sunday and come to the house of God and let somebody destroy what I'm working for and let somebody destroy my flock and the people that I preach to. If you're a pastor, you ought to love your people more than that. Amen. You got to do it in the right way. But David was handling it in the right way here. David said, Lord, consume them in your wrath. In other words, Lord, get mad about this thing. I mean, Lord, you know, they're not right. Now, you've anointed me. I'm going to be king over Israel one of these days. And Lord, these people is causing me a problem here. And they're trying to kill me. And he's just asking the Lord to help him here. He's asking, let's just read verse 13 again. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. In other words, that their effectiveness be took away. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. You know what? There's some people need to know that God's on the throne. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, April 11, Sunday, April 12. It is a great joy to be with you today on the radio, and I thank God for you that listen, and I hope that our broadcast has been a real blessing. Have a friend, neighbor, tune us in next week, if you would. And until next week, Brother Ricky saying goodbye. God bless you is my prayer. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into
line to the hump.